Welcome back, Chaver, from a nice summer. Thank you, Rebbe, again for doing these conference calls. Conference call number 171, Odeh Nishmas Rabbi Yaman Hammer, Zichron Levracha. Rebbe.
Thank you very much. We begin with a follow up. Klav for Haftoros. I said it's not necessary. And the question will be, Shulka decline? Because disenfranchised people like we in Haftorah and cannot do so from this klaf. Do I think that's true? The answer is yes. The next part of the question, can we consider common factors like inclusivity? Again, the answer is yes. So I thought I answered both questions. Yes, last time. I'm saying it again this time. Yes and yes. Okay, question one. Can one accept early day one on Rosh Hashanah every year? And this year when Rosh Hashanah day one starts Friday night, can you accept Rosh Hashanah after Plaga Mincha and not wait until night? The answer is absolutely yes. That's probably the one Yom Tov that seems to be no problem. And of course, Yom Kippur can also accept early, but all the other Havim have problems. Sukkot's a problem, Shemini Atzeret's a problem, Pesach a problem, Shavuot's a problem. Maybe I still, the last day of the Pesach should be okay. But other than that, Rosh Hashanah should be no problem. Number two, Shulchan Aruch says on Tisha B'Av one wears the talis cotton under one's clothing, but several people in my shul wear the tzitzis with the strings hanging on Tisha B'Av. Pirkei Tshuva supports it. Hope this won't be changed in the future, but is there a base of people who wear them out? The whole thing has no basis to begin with. You have to look on the Torah, where you see the whole idea of wearing under one's clothing only means to the exclusion of a talis gadol. Not getting into the question whether your tzitzis is out, tzitzis is in. Not the point over here. The expression is used under one's clothing only to mean a talis cotton to the exclusion of a talis gadol. How you wear a talis cotton, the same as you wear it every day of the year, you can wear it on Tisha B'Av as well. Three, does Ma'aser Shabbos apply to Gzeira against medicine on Shabbos? As in, if I have a bug bite on my arm on Friday, could I hint to a non-Jew before Shabbos to spray the bug bite with ointment on Shabbos? Now, the expression Ma'aser Shabbos is not exactly perfect. That expression connotes something which is done illicitly on Shabbos, may have enough from it or not. But here, it's a question of refuah. Refuah is an Easter, which means if you will take medicines, next thing you know, you'll be grinding the medicines, which is an Easter of Tochen. Having said that, it seems to me no distinction whether the person who is getting the medicine is active or passive. It's irrelevant whether I'm active or I'm passive. The same Gzeira will exist. If I get the medicine today, whether actively or passively, next thing I know, I will be grinding the herbs to create the medicine next Shabbos. That's the basis for prohibition. No difference whether the person is active or passive. And according to most authorities, no difference whether he's doing it himself or a guy is doing it. If the guy is doing it, next time he needs it, he's going to grind his own medicines. So that's the problem we have in other areas of halacha. There's a discussion about a goy playing music at a Shabbos Shabbat brachos. Some poskim allow it. We do not allow it. Why not? Shvus to shvus with mokum mitzvah. The answer is, even if I'm passive and the goy is playing an instrument, if it breaks, I may fix it. This applies to Shia of Macholah before Shabbos as well. So therefore, the bottom line is that it's prohibited. Not Al-Smaisa Shabbos, but as Refuah B'Shabbos, there is an exception. There's an exception that if someone's a Cholish Ein Bo Sakana, then it's permissible to take medicines even actively. Now, bug bite, I'm not an MD, but the definition of Cholish Ein Bo Sakana is someone who cannot function normally. I think most people with bug bites can function normally. Therefore, the Easter of Refuah should apply. Four, can a Yidah that loves music go to a concert hall that is playing songs for J-E-S-U-S? If the Yidah has zero intention of worship, doesn't care for the Christianity, just enjoys the orchestra, the lights, and the choir, the music, the answer is absolutely not. You should not be doing these things. These are far away from Odezara. I'm not accusing this fellow of avodah zarah, but he should not be getting close to avodah zarah. Five, if one grew up and his parents raised them not to mish on Pesach, he continued following the custom after he got married. Now it's getting difficult for him to keep the custom. Must he mount the nether? Absolutely, yes. It is a nether, which he took when he got married. Before that, it wasn't binding upon him. Once he observed it, he has to have a Torah Siddur. Six, Sherry cast. They want to rely on the Taz, the Abhuda, Kazanish. Bittle is enough for the Klippa against the barrel, not like the Shach that you need against the whole cast. This is a very lengthy discussion in the post-game. I can give you a couple of my makamas. There's a whole book on sherry casks. Can you imagine? An entire book by Rabbi Akiva Niehaus. He talks about this at great length, and he's not convinced that it should be mutter, based upon all the source that he quotes. There's also the wonderful series by Rabbi David Cohen Shlita from Chicago. His book on alcoholic beverages also talks about the same topic. They both say mostly the same thing. That's a shaila in halacha, it's a shaila in the metzius, and it's not fully resolved. It seems that there are many reasons to prohibit it. There are, truthfully, some mitigating factors. They quote one of the great poskim of our time, Rav Shlomo Miller Shlita from Lakewood, or Toronto or Lakewood, who was expressed leniency based on a number of considerations. Obviously, these are not perfectly acceptable. I have to give my personal opinion. I'm against all liquor, so that my opinion is clouded by my bias. Liquor is terrible, causes all kinds of problems, likely also because of Chomer Shalom of Pesach, and this is a problem of Stam Yenem as well. But if a person wants to take this sherry cask liquor, there are significant rabbonim who express some leniency. And if he feels he must rely upon them, he has the right to do so. Question number seven. Compared to the mostly easy Hebrew of earlier tefillas and Birkas HaMazon, why do kinas and slichas use such difficult language? The answer, I think, is pretty simple. That language, which is introduced by Chachmei HaMesorah throughout the generation, is a language which is utilized in that period of time in their circles. So the Chazal, who made the Tfilas and Birchas HaMazon, used a very, very, very easy style. In the Middle Ages, when the Slichas and Kinas were composed, as a rule, the language was a little bit fancier and more difficult. But if you look in the slichas, they're easy compared to some of the complex kinos and or tfilos composed by the famous Shabbalozer HaKalir, the great poet who preceded the period of the Rishonim, in the period of the Savaroim and the Gaonim, the 700s. He has the most complicated piyutim imaginable. Yet, Klal Yisrael seems to be accepting it on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, some in Abba Parshis, almost everybody in Kiyus as well. So it became very popular. The genius Shabbat is remarkable. Not without critics. Open to Ibn Ezra, beginning of Perek Hay of Koheles, he's very upset. Rabbi Lazar HaKalir, precisely because it's so complicated. You know why it's complicated? He ties himself up in knots. It has to rhyme in six times, and it has to be an olive based order. You know, that was apparently the custom in his time. He did it the way his custom was. Thankfully, most of the slichos are not as complicated, but they're a little bit complicated because that was the start in those days. So we shouldn't be critical. We should just accept. We prefer, now in the 21st century, we're much happier with the original Chachmei Mesorah of the Brachas and the Birchas HaMazon, the Tfilas, which is so much more, you know, easy Hebrew. That's what we like. But apparently there were times when people had different likes, and it's hard for us to be critical of previous generations. In general, it's hard to be critical of previous generations based on our own standards, which change all the time. Next, if someone is building a house from scratch, and he built his house with his bedroom's windows facing his neighbor's bedroom windows about 8-10 feet apart, A, would he have to agree if he puts up shades? B, to require to frost his windows? C, if the neighbor is makbid, must he change the layout of the house to move over the window away from his neighbor, which would entail a big job and big expense? So if you look at the beautiful statue of the Pesachei Choshen, on the volume of Nezikin and Perek Yudalet at the very beginning, he explains that there are two problems of Hezekiah. One is, you're familiar with the Rashi and Parshas Balak, Matovo Lecha Yaakov, Shein Pischem, Mechuvonim Zeka Negazem. This is a problem without any other individual protesting. Even if both parties agree, it's still a problem. Looking, being seeing someone else's in private places is not a good thing. Now, as we were complimented by even by the likes of Bilam, we should make sure to follow in that tradition. That's one. In addition of the Beinonu LaMokom, in effect, the Beinonu LaChaveiro, that a person protests. And why do you protest? What's your right to protest? Right there, Rav Bloy Zatzal in his Pesachei Choshen, you are limiting your neighbor from using his house the way he likes. Now, it's a big difference. If the first consideration is true, if a person puts up shades, frosts his windows, not a problem. Oh, you'll tell me he can open the window. He can pull the shades. He won't do it. There was not a problem. However, from the perspective of the neighbor whose utilization of his property is somewhat limited, it's not so simple. Even though right now the window is frosted and the shades are pulled down, he may have a fear that you can just simply open the window and pull apart the shades. He may be limited somewhat even now in his activities. So this, of course, is a Beinonu LaChaveiro, and every situation is different. There are two sides to every story. Would have to try to figure out why he did what he did, if how it's possible to change it if the neighbor is upset. We always try to make pshuras in the comments of Beinonu LaChaveiro, and without hearing two sides, no answer can be given definitively. Question number 9. Is it a problem that Kohanim and Levim miss part of the Chodesh Hashas, Musa Rosh Hashanah, to wash hands with the Siyas Kapayim? Now, Musa Rosh Hashanah is perhaps unique. They say from the Brisker Rav, that since there's a concept of Kiyus Al Seder HaBrachas, you miss a single word, you're out. Of course, if that's the case, it wouldn't be a problem this year, day which is this. Only problem on the second day, we blow the shofar. It's a good question, because if you're a Brisker, it creates a problem. Truth is, if you're a Brisker, it can create a problem all the time. They want to hear the Chazor HaSashat. My Rebbe would stand at attention, feet together during Chazor HaSashat. And it's obviously, you walk out in the middle, it's a problem. So the answer is as follows. The Kohen has no alternative. He's chayav to do Brichas Kohanim. And if he misses, he misses. You can't worry about a Brisker Chumrah if you're going to miss a Mitzvah Daraisa of Brichas Kohanim. Levim have no such mitzvah, not the Raisa, not the Rabbonim. It's just a custom that Levim wash their hands. So Levim are not concerned about the Brisker Chumras. They don't have to worry. They can go out and wash their hands on Rosh Hashanah. If they are concerned, that's some other lady who's not concerned with these Brisker Chumras. The truth is that a Levi can say all year long, not only Rosh Hashanah, I want to focus on my Chazor HaSashat. I don't want to go out in the middle. It is better if the sink is within earshot, so the person, both the Kohen and the Levi, who go to wash, don't have to miss even a single word coming from the mouth of the Chazan. It's preferred if it's done in that fashion. Number 10. It's a powerful Balkorah to utilize Sephardi Trump and Ashkenazi Shul for Kriyas HaTorah as well as HaTorah? No. We try to keep the minig of the Mokom. 11. Gabbai asks, who has kedima for an aliyah on Shabbos? A chosen who was married on Wednesday, or someone with the yahrzeit coming on Sunday? For that, all these aliyahs are not available. B, the answer be say with on Shabbos. C, the answer is the chosen. Is it appropriate for the chosen to be meichel and let the one with the yahrzeit take the aliyah? So if you look at the Bir Halacha in Siman Kuf Lamed Vav, he said the chosen has priority, even as opposed to a yahrzeit bo bayom on Shabbos. The answer is clear. Being meichel, the answer is not so clear. There's a concept called a chiyuv. For instance, there's a certain obligation. That's the word we use in Yiddish. I'm a chiyuv. I'm a chiyuv. So if it's a chiyuv, not so easy to give up a chiyuv. why do these chiyuvim exist? So my Rebbe would explain, or Soloveitchik, that a chosn has a chiyuv because he is in the simcha, and part of simcha is being mesamech other people, and mesamech other people of the halacha is getting an aliyah, you're teaching Torah, even though you're the Malkari, you're on your behalf, and therefore it's a big mitzvah to be mesamech the tzibur, and that's why he gets he has a chiyuv. The yahrzeit is called chiyuv because the yahrzeit, I mean, the question why we observe the yahrzeit. The main reason given is, I mean, there are two reasons given. It's either the Shema for the Nifter, for the parent, or is it the question of the Oval himself, or the person who has the yahrzeit, it's not a good day for him, and that's why he's a Kaddish, lights a candle, perhaps gets an Aliyah as well. Seems to me that the Aliyah aspect, at least, I'm not discussing the other aspects, so fasting and everything else, the Aliyah aspect is presumably a concept that this Aliyah is a, no pun intended, is an Aliyah's neshama for the people get very emotional about yahrzeit, as you know, much more than a chosn gets emotional about his getting his Aliyah. Seems to me, if the chosn wants to be meichel, if the yahrzeit is all exercised, he needs his Aliyah desperately, I think it would be okay. Even though it has a chiyuv to make the whole tzibur happy, probably a bigger chiyuv to make the yahrzeit happy. But if the yahrzeit understands what the Bialocha says and that he's second fiddle, chosn has a greater obligation, then the chosn should not be meichel on his own initiative. Only if it's to avoid a bitter yahrzeit having a fight. Let's go on to the next question. Question number 12. When it's having a long yeshiva style davening Rosh Hashanah, which starts at 8 and doesn't end until close to 3, what is the best option for someone who feels he will be weak? Three options. Eat a drink before he goes to shul, to make kiddush before tkiyus, or he's not allowed. Three beautiful suggestions. And the question is, which is the best? Now, what can I say? It's hard for people to go till 3 o'clock and then eat anything. I understand that. I believe that a Rosh Hashanah person should go past Chatzos, which is 1 o'clock here in New York, without eating anything. I believe that's true even on Shabbos this year, even though it's against the Mishnah Berurah, reasons which I explained on a different occasion. Because till 1 o'clock, a person is being judged. We say in the davening, everyone comments before Hashem, Kivnei Moron, you know, single file. And when you're being passed for judgment, single file, you'd rather be with your face in a magzer than in your mouth in a gefilte fish. So it's better anything until after 1 o'clock. So if you can handle the 3, tov. But if you can't, so eating before davening is a serious problem. A serious problem. I cannot advocate that so easily. One who feels that he has to eat early, let him find a Vesikin minion and then be able to eat it at an early hour. Right after, I mean, in theory, after it's all over, if it's a quick minion. But certainly after Shacharit, you're not supposed to eat before Shacharit, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, before the Tkiyus is also an issue. Rav Henkins, I was famous for always yelling against those who make the Kiddush before the Tkiyus. Technically speaking, the person eats a kibbutz or less should be mutter before the tkiyas. That's what I would recommend. The three possibilities, the best one would be to make kish for the tkiyas and have the of mazonos. And this is what started the yeshivas. If you have more than the kabbalists, there's also some grounds to be lenient. I don't think it's, if you can't handle it until 3 o'clock, it's too much. You won't be able to have any kavona. That's no good. And eating before shul, before shacharis, is also no good. So the better, the best of the three is to make kiddush before tkiyas and try to do it privately with not too much cake. And that should carry you through until 3 o'clock. 13. On Rosh Hashanah night, when eating the simonim, I make a bor per eitz. If yes, you make it on the apple or one of the shiva simonim. We all make bor per eitz. The big machlokes, what do you do? The apple or shiva simonim. The minhag is to do the apple. Some people say it's chaviv. If you look at the Piskei Tshuvos, it's a tough kuf pei gimel, footnotes 3 and 4, called significant positions on both sides. I think the minhag is to make it on the apple. That's, you know, the way they sing the song. Dig the apple and the honey, make a bracha loud and clear. That's how we grew up with those songs. Seems to be the minhag is for us, so I think we do in our house as well. 14. Motzei Yom Kippur. If one lit a 24-hour candle and have it, to have a Ner Shel Shavas, which only has one wick. How do you do Havdalah? Light a Havdalah candle from it, use a match together with it, or just one by itself. Again, three choices. So, if you look in the Ramah, this is now before we went to Siman Tuf Reish, Tuf Kuf Pegimel, now we're all the way in Siman Tuf Reish Chaf Dalit. What does it say there? Tav Resh Chav Dalit. Have to open the Shulchan Aruch and see what the Shulchan Aruch says to give an answer. So I'm going to read you a little bit, a very brief excerpt from Tav Resh. Excuse me, from Tav Resh Chav Dalit. It says as follows. Watch. Shulchan Aruch says, oh, only Ner Shel Shavas. Oh, Alo Ur Shudak Bimenu. A light which is lit from it. Says the Ramah, Yesh Omer She'en Lahavdil Olav Ela Madlikin Ner Achad Bimenu from the Shul light, etc. And some say, Shulai from the Shul light, two different opinions. And Anochon, Lahadul Shneem Biyachad, Hadig Lahadig Ner Echad Bitik. So Yadul Ner Atzmo Shabbat Nesset Bechuk, because it may be a problem, it's only the covered Bialma. So, where does that leave us? So, the first opinion in the Ramah seems that you should. Lose it by itself. The second opinion, Ramah, is used both together. And the third opinion, light Havdalah candle from it, that's what Moshe says in the Tshuva, Chelek Dalet, Siman Kuf Chav Beis. The truth is, all the three are okay. Remember, although Ner Shel Shavas is a Chiv, as opposed to Ner all year long is not a Chiv, the fact of having an Avuka, of having do 2 weeks is not a chiyuv at all. It's a strong minhag. Therefore, if a person wants to just use 1 week, that's fine. He wants to light something from it, like a match. You have both. You have the match and the wick itself, like maybe consider like two fires, perhaps. That's fine. And you want to only have the other candle from it. The immersion is also fine. So it's hard for me to say which one is the best. 15. It is acceptable to have a non-Jewish maintenance man put up the shul sukkah, including the schach. Shul became not law cotton to put up the schach on the sukkah. If you look at Simon Tov Resh Lamed Hey Sif Aleph, it talks about Gan Vach and Naktan. It says a goy is okay and a cotton is okay. It's fine. 16. On sukkahs, must one, remove any rings on one's hands before taking the Dalet Minim in his or her hands. The Ramah in Tafresh Nanav Shazayin says, Nachol Lahachmir, to remove the rings. But according to the Ramah, it's only Machmir, not strictly speaking. The Mishnah Brura, author of those who say no. Some say, strictly speaking, it's no good. And therefore, it seems to me, the safe way is to remove the rings. According to some authorities, where the Mishnah Brura cannot be yotzi otherwise. 17. Is it preferable to first make the bracha on the lulav and the sukkah before davening, or dafka to wait to make the bracha on the shul right before halal? B. Is there any inyan to go into the shul sukkah to make the bracha on the lulav? Very good questions. So here we find, again, opposite customs. Opposite. I can give you a maramok of the Piskei Tshuva, Siman Tov, Resh, Nun, Beis, footnote 14. Some do it right away, and they even do it in the sukkah. The combination of sukkah and lulav, like the Arizal, considered significant enough to make it right away and not wait till before Hala, or because it's reason Magdimim, to right away and not wait before Hala. However, that's not so simple. There are those who say the other way around. What should you do? Make the bracha on lulav just before Hala. So the bracha on the lulav can go on the main near Nuim, the moving of the lulav back and forth, which is primary time, is during Hala. I believe that's the Brisker Rav did that way. I think my Rebbe did that way. That's what I do also. I postpone to make the bracha and take the lulav, so just before Hala, so the bracha can go on the Nanum of Hala as well. Question number 18. Regarding, is there any halachic issue with wearing jewelry with a chamtza, the hand or the eye? I'm glad the question was raised. I never heard of it. Didn't know what it was. They showed me what it is, and I looked it up a little bit. Sfardim used it against an ayin hara. Ashkenazi post can take a dim view of this phenomenon. Some say it's absolutely prohibited for various reasons, and some say it should be discouraged. Since I'm Ashkenazi, I would discourage it. If you're a Sephardi, you should ask your Rav. 19. Is one allowed to give a mother a shot? She has blood clot and needs shot every morning for 2-3 days. No! No. The Gemara has a very serious discussion of this in the Sechel of Sanhedrin. That's Makeh Avivi Momos Yumos. A person draws blood from a parent. Chalila, it's a capital offense. And even though the parent wants it, matter should not be done, because obviously giving a shot is a very good chance that blood's going to come out. So therefore, you have to find somebody else. Just can't do it. I know the daughter wants you. You have the best hands of anybody else. Find someone else with good hands. We go further than that. Was the status of offspring carried by a Jewish mother from donor egg? Presumably not Jewish. We can spend hours on this topic. We don't like to spend hours on any given topic. It's a machloikis. They quote from Shlomo Zalman. This machloikis will not be resolved till the Mashiach comes. And Mashiach is not here yet. We would hope Mashiach would come very soon. But he's not coming today. We have to answer the question today. Today the answer is, it's a machloikis. It's a machloikis. Who holds what? Even that's questionable. For example, Rabbi Yoshev is quoted on both sides, not the only thing, but it's often quoted on both sides of an issue, and it's hard to know. It's hard for me to give my own opinion, because I believe, since we can't resolve this, if a person is born from a donor egg, not Jewish, you have to have a gerus for sure, and I believe that if the other way around, a non-Jewish surrogate should also have a geirus. I lean a little bit to what they quote from Rabbi Yoshev, that it's a genetic mother, but I can't say with certainty. Even the Rav Amar Shlita came to Yeshiva and said it with absolute certainty, but I'm not such a certain type of person. I don't know for sure. So in either case, you would require a Gira L'Chumra, and when that can be done, because the parents are firm, that's not a problem. If not, it's a big problem. There were those who maintain that since it's a matter of dispute, even those who claim that one may not do a conversion for a child whose parents aren't observant, because it's bad for the child to be a non-observant Jew, it's not a schus. Some want to argue that's only true if he's certainly not Jewish. If he's in limbo, better to resolve it in one direction and make him Jewish. I understand that svara. My Rebbe, Rav Shechta Shlita, does not accept that svara. So again, I have no opinion on this matter. 21. Should one wash three times on each hand after a haircut or shaving? Well, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Dalet Sif Yutes says yes on haircuts, and some all those things there, and that a whole slew of things which are probably bad for your health, or ruach ra. Many people are makel nowadays. Comes to shaving, even the Pisket Shuvas was into all these things. He writes there in footnote 262 in Siman Dalet that you don't have to wash after shaving. 22. Should B'nai Torah oppose efforts to make daylight savings time permanent throughout the year? I said, absolutely. It makes it very difficult for davening in the morning. Then daven in the morning, if your daylight savings all year in New York City, in January 1, the sunrise is 20 after 8. This is my first shiur as a rabbi-elect in Riverdale. If you may remember, those are old enough to remember, 1973 was the Yom Kippur War. An Arab embargo, and they made it all year long, daylight savings, and then my first shot before I even moved in. What are we going to do about davening? They stopped at 6:45, and now it's 8:20 is sunrise. Can't daven so early. So we had to adjust the times, etc., etc., etc. That was bad, and it's bad now too. But it's worse if you live in a city such as Detroit. In Detroit, the sun would rise at 9:05. It's just too much. I'm not discussing the safety issue, which is, I guess, very chimera sakanta misura. Too many fatalities of youngsters going to school in pitch black. I don't understand why people want to change it. I know the president of this country wants to change it. Why should we have this terrible obligation and burden of changing its clocks twice a year? Spring forward. Fall back. Listen, you only need to have 180 IQ to know how to do that. We've been doing it so many years, and we should do what we can to stop it. I'm not sure we have it under control, but if you can talk to a congressman, it'd be a good idea. Final question, 23. I was in a Sephardi shul. They had nobody who was proficient enough to daven for the Amma for Shachris. They implored me, Yeshivish Ashkenazi, to lead the Amma, despite my obviously different nusach. There are no hakpadas, preconditions. I assume the right thing to do is use their siddur with their nusach. My question is, if I should attempt to read it with havaras svaradit and do that in a flawed way, should I just read the svaradit nusach like a shivish ashkenazi with eses for sof, etc.? I believe that the person should try to do it havaras svaradit. Many gedolim and eretz yisrael who daven ashkenazis, if they're invited to a svaradic wedding, they'll make the brachot, havaras svaradit. I think that's appropriate. It may be difficult for him, but I think if you just try your best, that'll be the preferred option. Thank you very much. I believe we're meeting again
in 2 weeks, September 9th.
Rosh Hashanah.
Right, 2 couple days before Rosh Hashanah.